The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey everyone, before we get rolling today on the show, we'd be remiss if we didn't pass along our condolences to the families and colleagues of the two Edmonton police officers who were unfortunately shot and killed today. Just an unthinkable and horrific tragedy in our city. We're going to have all of our usual game day fun, but today is one of those days where hockey definitely is not at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. So again, this is a tragedy that affected a lot of parts of our community, but we wanted to offer our condolences to the families of 35-year-old Constable Travis Jordan and 30-year-old Constable Brett Ryan before we got going on today's show.
You're tuned in to Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk, live every weekday on the Nation Network YouTube.
What's going on? Welcome in to the show. Yes, it is a Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of things here on Oilers Nation every day. Welcome in to everybody over in the Nation Network YouTube chat. Thanks for tuning in. It's a game day, Dallas Stars. I'm Tyler Yaremchuk. He's Liam Horbin. And boom, we got a friend from Germany, Tim Keller, joining us. Tim, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Man, I'm probably not doing as good as you and your fellow Germans who got to watch a game against the Ottawa Senators where Tim Stützle scores twice, Leon Draisaitl scores twice on the ice. That must have just been an absolute blast for you guys to take in.
Yes, it was like a surreal experience. We had the second time, so last time we didn't see as much fun, but we were like, in the morning we joked around that both are going to score tonight. I think someone said for fun, yeah, Stützle is going to score four and the Oilers win anyway, then it would be a great day. But I think we got the best scenario where Leon scored two as well.
Yeah, that was great. And you guys got to meet Leon Draisaitl after the game as well, as we can see here on the screen. What was that like? How was meeting Leon?
It was amazing. Like he was really nice. And we like weren't really expecting it that to happen, but we like tried everything to make it happen. And when we knew it would be happening, we were like just over the moon.
Yeah, it looked like a ton of fun. That game on the ice was great. We're going to break all of that down. We're also going to look ahead to tonight's matchup against the Dallas Stars. Welcome into the show. We are live from the Sports Closet studio. Sportscloset.ca is where you can find them. Also three locations in the Edmonton area. You guys are going to be back at the game tonight. Are you rocking a jersey to these games? Are you keeping the hoodie on? What's the play?
I have my Draisaitl jersey and I have a little patch about a friend of our group who was here last time who unfortunately passed away. And we're honoring her like in the game and everything. So that's really nice. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day. Oilers Stars tonight, 1-0 since our friends from Germany got here, looking to make it 2-0 tonight, but they are going to be in tough. And you're getting a lot of love in the YouTube chat as well. A lot of people saying welcome to Edmonton. Tim, before we maybe dig into tonight's matchup, well, let's take a look at what's going on over in the YouTube chat. Kyle was the first one in offering his thoughts and prayers to the two fallen EPS officers, which we talked about off the jump tonight. Chris Walkling said tonight, the Oilers will take care of business. Absolutely love that. And a bunch of chirps about us dialing up the internet. But I actually think, and producer Aaron, we're trying a new setup today, actually, which is why Liam is in the same spot and on the couch. And Aaron's in the same room as us, not in a different room. The point is, we're working on it. We're going to find a solution here to our internet issues. Nico in the chat says, Tim is the German Bruce McCurdy. He knows the numbers. Yes, he is a contributor to Oilers Nation Germany. And are you part of the pod as well?
Yes.
Yeah, the Oilers Nation Germany podcast. Yes. So there you go. Tonight, Oilers Stars looking to build and keep the momentum going. We talked about how they finally got back to 500 on home ice. Liam, when you look back at that game for the Edmonton Oilers, what was the big positive for you?
From Tuesday?
Yeah, from Tuesday against Ottawa.
The big positive for me was, honestly, keep it on brand, Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah.
Honestly, like he was amazing on Tuesday for them and score his 100th point of the season. Stuart Skinner made, what, 3 or 4 huge saves in that game. And that was kind of it for me. Like the big guys kind of showed up when you needed them to and took care of business against the Ottawa Senators. And tonight, a bit of a tougher test. But
yeah,
I'm expecting another good performance from this team because I think they've actually been, despite the losses they've had, I think overall it's been a pretty good run of last couple of weeks here for the Oilers.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, the frustrating part is you look above them in the standings, right? And it's like, hey, LA 7-1-2 in their last 10. Vegas 7-2-1 in their last 10. And it's frustrating to see those teams going on the run that they're going on. And then you look at the Oilers, you go, 6-4. Like, okay, they're only one win behind those teams, but they're only one win above 500 in their last 10. But I do think it's important to keep into top context the strength of schedule in all of this. Like, they have been playing some really difficult teams over the last couple of weeks here. And for them to be above 500, I take that as a big win. I feel like they're really starting to hit their stride as a group. And tonight is going to be another tough, tough test. The Dallas Stars kind of got their asses kicked, surprisingly, by the Vancouver Canucks earlier in the week, losing 5-2. But before that, it was back-to-back impressive wins over the Seattle Kraken. They scored 10 goals against the Buffalo Sabres a couple of weeks ago. They beat the Hawks 5-2. They beat the Coyotes. Like, they racked up some wins. They took care of business where they needed to. This is going to be a much, much tougher test than, honestly, Ottawa kind of was. The other big thing is that between the pipes, they have Jake Oettinger. The other storyline leading in this, as you looked at how these two teams have looked on the season as a whole, this is potentially a first round opponent for the Edmonton Oilers. And I on it, like, the Stars would scare me as a first round opponent just because of Jake Oettinger alone. Like, I don't think their forward group is necessarily as good as the Oilers. I think their blue line with a guy like Miro Heiskanen, he's probably one of the few defensemen who can keep up with Connor McDavid. But what do you make of this matchup and the way the Oilers kind of look against the Stars or match up against them?
Yeah, I think so that like it should be a third round matchup. So I think that's like two of the better teams in the conference, although it's like not exactly the Oilers are not there in the standings. But I think like on playoff teams, I think they're both like could go really fast. So it would be a bummer to have them in the first round.
I think like what you said, Tyler, if the Oilers do get Dallas in the first round, Jake Oettinger is probably going to be the X factor in the entire series. I mean, look what he did to the Calgary Flames last season, right? Calgary, weren't they the number one team in the West last year or second, whatever it was? They won the division, whatever, right? Played Dallas, took him to 7 games. It took overtime in game 7 to get Calgary past Dallas. So yeah, they're a difficult team. And like you said, that forward group probably isn't as good as they want it to be, but Robertson's been very good this season. Roope Hintz can turn it up. Joe Pavelski is just going to stand in front of the net and tip everything that goes in. So that's what they do. And this team is kind of, even when they went to the Stanley Cup final, was their forward group that great? Like it was good, but they basically rely on like just a good defensive structure and good goaltender. That's what they've got. So yeah, it's going to be a tough game for the Oilers. But last time they played Dallas, they did beat them. And that was the Oilers Nation Christmas party, I think it was, right?
Yes.
Yeah, when we watched at Soho there.
Oh, yeah, so, down in Dallas.
Yep. Yeah, so
Oilers, they lost in Edmonton earlier this year.
Yes, they did. And was that the one where the shot went through Jack Campbell's glove?
Yeah, that was a tough
game. The memories.
Well, that shouldn't, knock on wood, happen tonight because Stuart Skinner is the expected starter for the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton and Dallas could very realistically be a first round playoff matchup. Like we said, if Edmonton were to sit in that number one wildcard spot, which is possible, Dallas could potentially be the lower of the two division winners, which means that would be the matchup. It's also very possible that if Edmonton were to squeak into one of those or hold on to their spot, I should say, as one of the three Pacific Division playoff teams, this could be a third round playoff matchup. Like I think that was a great point, Tim. Like these two teams are both very much built where they could go deep. And that is a team I wouldn't want to face early in the playoffs if I was the Edmonton Oilers. Maybe we'll switch up the way we usually do things. Let's do the lineup report now, Aaron, and just talk a little bit more about the opposition here in Dallas. Because that top line is about as good as any, probably one of the few top lines that you could look at and say it's close to being at the level of the Oilers when they put McDavid and Draisaitl together. Roope Hintz has 32 goals on the year. Jason Robertson could very well be a Hart Trophy candidate at the end of the year. He's not winning the damn thing. We know that's Connor McDavid's. Joe Pavelski is a guy who gets better when the playoffs roll around. Like, that top line will be a problem. I don't love their depth. Wyatt Johnston, rookie on the second line. He's playing tonight with Evgeny Dodonov and Jamie Benn. Jamie Benn, bounce back year. That is great. They don't have Tyler Seguin. He was cut with a skate on his leg and is still out of the lineup. That was an ugly one.
That has been happening far too often.
That's actually players something they brought up at the GM meeting. So the NHL GMs are looking at grandfathering in some rules where players have to wear cut-resistant clothing.
It even happened the other week in a Crusaders game too. Yeah. It's horrible to see, and it must be such a horrible... I can't even imagine, like, the insight. We saw it, Brad Marchand too, the other week. It's crazy, obviously, about the Kane.
So with Seguin out, Wyatt Johnston's moved up the lineup a little bit here. Radek Faksa with Max Domi and Ty Dellandrea. That rounds out kind of their top nine. With Seguin in the lineup, it looks a lot better because they can move Johnston down and he plays on a third line with Domi, which is a decent third line. But similar to the Oilers almost in a way, I don't love their depth on the right side. Their fourth line, Luke Glendening, Joel Karavanta, and Frederik Olofsson. Kiviranta is a guy who is remembered for what he did in the bubble here a couple of years ago. Remember that playoff run when he just went like unconscious? Yeah. He scored like 8 goals in 4 games or something.
Had a hat trick.
I was saying that was probably the reason why they went to the final, because I had someone who's like always like showing up at the end of the game and everything. So what happened to him?
Well, he's got 7 goals this year. And again, it feels like that year in the bubble, he scored 7 goals in like a 1 week stretch.
In one game, probably. Yeah.
But he's down on the fourth line right now. On the D pairings for the Dallas Stars, the top duo, which I expect to see a lot of Connor McDavid tonight, is Miro Heiskanen and Colin Miller. Esa Lindell with Yanni Hakanpää on the second. And on the third pairing, it's Ryan Suter with Joel Hanley. They have a couple of players out of the lineup tonight, including Mason Marchment and Tyler Seguin. But that blue line right there, that's legit. Like, I do think this is a game where if you're the Oilers, you need to keep McDavid and Draisaitl separated to some extent, because there's not a soft matchup on this Stars blue line. Like, with Ottawa, we talked about like a third pairing. You could be like, hey, if you get Draisaitl or McDavid out against those guys, they're going to skate them into the ground and dominate that matchup. I don't see a matchup where 97 and 29, like, clearly can take advantage of a weak D pairing.
If I remember correctly, I think Leon always struggled against Suda when he played on Minnesota. So I think he's like a really tough player to play against. And I think Lindell is like, can you still call him underrated, or is he like legit now?
Yeah, no, I think he's one of those guys where you're right. For a couple of years, he was one of the underrated defensive D-men. And that usually happens in the league where if you're a good shutdown D-man, you're always like, even Slavin in Carolina, right? Like, he was underrated for like 3-4 years. And everyone eventually figures out like, oh, damn, this guy can shut down some of the best around the NHL. And Lindell is definitely on that level. So that's the lineup for the Dallas Stars. The starting goaltender tonight for the Dallas Stars is, I believe, going to be Jake Ottinger, because they've had some time off, but it is unconfirmed over at dailyfaceoff.com. Stuart Skinner is confirmed for the Edmonton Oilers. He had a pretty good bounce back game, I thought, against the Ottawa Senators. His save percentage was above 900. I'm thinking back to those goals. Like, there was the shorthanded one where, I mean, there's nothing he could have done on that one. Like, that was actually a nice play, I thought, by Dylan Gambrell. The other one went in off Desharnais' skate. Nothing you could really do there. Tim Stützle scored again. He's just nasty. He's unstoppable. He's a superstar. I'll hype him up for you a little bit. But I liked Stuart Skinner last game. I thought that was like a really good bounce back for him.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, kind of off the jump there, like, thoughts on the game. I think Stuart Skinner was arguably the biggest difference in some ways, like, made that big save off the Bouchard turnover, then followed it up immediately after with another save on that. And I think it was DeBrincat on the power play in the second period. He kind of made that sprawling save across and caught it and deflected it over. So Stuart Skinner, I said this on After Dark as well, like, whenever he's between the pipes, I have all the confidence in the world that he's going to get the job done. And I think the Oilers feel that way too a lot of the times when they play in front of him, because they can make riskier plays, I guess, because they can get bailed out by the goalie. Maybe not as risky as what Evan Bouchard tried to do. Dial it down a little bit from there.
Maybe we don't want that. Happy medium. Stuart Skinner has been above a 900 in three of his last four, is 3-1 in that span as well. So the Oilers keep rolling with their big dog between the pipes. The rest of the lineup, there's a little bit to break down here. Jason Gregor had the latest this morning from Oilers Skate. No Ryan McLeod. He wasn't on the ice, which leads you to believe it's not a healthy scratch. If he was healthy, he would have skated and stayed after. So it sounds like McLeod could be nicked up, could be an illness, something along those lines. He's not going to play. Zach Hyman is listed in the top six here, but Gregor pointed out after he stayed for about 15 minutes after practice and continued working as the rest of the group headed off. That leads you to believe he's close, but not playing tonight. Usually if a guy's going to be in the lineup, he's going to leave when the rest of the regulars leave practice. So Gregor speculated it could be 11-7 tonight, which makes sense when you look at the way things are laid out on your screen here. Kane, McDavid, Yamamoto, Nugent Hopkins, and Draisaitl. We saw Jay Woodcroft have some success with kind of running 11-7, where the top six is just a top five, and he kind of runs out like different combinations of them, keeps the other team guessing a little bit. The bottom six has actually been really solid for the Oilers as of late. So I like that they're kind of keeping the bulk of it together with Bukestad, Janmark, and Kostin, Shore, Fogle, and Ryan. I think this team is better when they go 11-7 and they kind of can mishmash the top six. Again, I'll use air quotes on that. I like having different looks with all those guys who are all comfortable playing together.
Yeah, I saw something on Twitter a few weeks ago. Like the Oilers are like a top five team when they play 11-7, and they are like a lottery team when they play 12-6. So the win percentage is on our side with that.
Yeah, and Jay Woodcroft actually made that point in a couple of press conferences now. When they come off losses, they do 11-7. He always gets asked the question, is it time to go back to the more traditional setup? And he will always point to their win percentage when they go with the 11-7 setup. The other thing I like about doing this tonight is it gets Philip Broberg back in the lineup. This guy hasn't played since the game against Winnipeg, the first game against Winnipeg, I believe. So it's been 10 days since he's played a game at the NHL level, 10 games since he's played a game anywhere because they haven't reassigned him down to Bakersfield. It was actually March 4th. So 12 days since Philip Broberg's been in the lineup. I like getting this guy on the ice again. 11-7. Yeah, you're dealing with some injuries with Hyman and McLeod. That'll happen. But the silver lining here is that you're going to get Broberg a game to get his feet back under him. Because again, when playoffs coming down the stretch here, you're going to need 7 or 8 defensemen to step up. And I would hate for Philip Broberg to have to come in for a meaningful game, whether it's late in the season or in the playoffs. And it's like, he isn't played in 20 days. Like, this is nice to get Broberg, again, just some reps. Even if he only plays 12, 13 minutes, it's better than him sitting up top again, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's about time. Like, this guy, as far as I'm concerned, didn't really do anything wrong to get put out of the lineup.
I'm with you.
And I mean, Vincent Desharnais isn't an everyday NHL defenseman yet, so why does he play every game? Because he's a right-handed stick? Well, Edmonton Oilers, you did this to yourself by getting rid of your right-handed depth, so you better get used to probably having to play a lefty over on the right once in a while. Yeah. And I think it's time the Oilers start adjusting that way a little bit. See if Kulak can play there. Is Ekholm effective on the right? Can Nurse play on the right? Like, who is it, right? Like,
throw some stuff at the wall, see what sticks.
We're in the regular season now. Don't test this in game one of the playoffs if someone on the right side can't play. Like, you got to experiment a little bit at the moment. And for me, Broberg, I think he was actually doing really, really well up until we haven't seen him. So, I want Broberg in there. And he's a very important piece of this future. The Oilers have made that very, very clear over this past year of like, he'll be on the roster. We're not going to trade him. He's untouchable. All this stuff is like, we'll play him. Because if you're not playing him, send him to Bakersfield at least. Let him get some game time. And just bring up Jason Demers or something like that.
Yeah, they don't want to do the same mistake they did with Bouchard in the Canadian League season, because like, that really hurt his development when he didn't play at all.
Yeah, exactly. Just having guys... I like, practice is valuable. I 100% understand that. But it gets to a point where the player is just like, well, am I going to play or am I just going to keep passing pucks to McDavid and Draisaitl off the Russian practice?
And the best example is also a German defender, Moritz Seider. He just played in his 19-year-old season, I think, or 20-year-old season. And they just let him play. And that's the best thing, way to develop.
Yeah, exactly. You got to play the game.
Yeah. A lot of comments in the YouTube chat about the goaltending matchup tonight. Some people were quick to point out, hey, Jake Oettinger gave up 5 goals to the Calgary Flames a couple of weeks ago. That's a great point. In his last 5 games, Oettinger's goals against average is actually a hair above 3, but he's been facing a lot of rubber in those games. Like against the Flames, he did face 37 shots, when giving up five goals. He's had a save percentage above 900 in three of the last five. His numbers as of late are actually very similar to Stuart Skinner. So these two evenly matched as of late between the pipes. Someone said Stuart Skinner shut out the Dallas Stars last year. He did not. He shut out San Jose, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then got sent down the next day.
Speaking of goaltending, yeah, he did. And he didn't play again the rest of the year. And it kind of makes you think, if they would have ran with Stuart Skinner last year, like we talked about on our pregame shows, like if they would have ran with Skinner and saw what they had in him, do they maybe not sign Jack Campbell, right? Like if Skinner would have had like 10 to 12 good starts down the stretch last year, would they have been like, oh shit, he might be our number one. Maybe we don't need to go spend $25 million on Campbell.
Find a cheaper stopgap.
Yeah, maybe it would have given them the confidence to pursue like a Husso more aggressive or something.
Yeah.
Ah, what could have been?
I was going to say, what could have been?
Speaking of goaltending, Maynard asked us in the chat, thoughts on Flurry Binnington last night?
I actually didn't see this.
Bro.
You haven't
seen it at all yet.
No, I saw it. Well, I see Binnington throwing his hands up in the air and I just hate that clown. I can't
go to Friedman's Twitter. Him. And watch the clip because I want to. Did you see it, Tim?
I saw it. Yeah, we were at the calling club and we were like surprised by the video. So it was really.
It's, yeah, I mean, another example of the Jordan Binnington tough guy act. I can't stand the guy. I know like a lot of people can't stand the guy. Are you watching it live here?
Okay, so Ryan Hartman kind of runs in. Oh wow. I was not. Well, I kind of understand the upsetness from Binnington. It's not loading.
I wish
classic
the line.
Internet.
I wish the linesman would have let them go at it. Aaron's working at pulling it up right now too. So we'll get, Lance says it, Binnington's a clown. And I think he is a clown. And he's got a hearing with the Department of Player Safety for throwing the blocker as well. And actually Mike McKenna said today on DFO Live that he thinks he will be suspended for it. The NHL does not like blocker plays like this.
It's a heavy hit.
It's a hard piece of equipment, man. Yeah. Like the NHL basically views it the same thing as like swinging a stick at a guy. So Binnington could be sitting for a while. The other thing that just makes him come off as an absolute loser in this is he had just given up like four goals in a couple of minutes. And I don't know, it just reeked of like, I'm pissy because I'm getting lit up. And then when he was hyping up the crowd, it's like, dude, I don't even know if your own fan base likes seeing this from you. I really wish the linesman would have let him go at it though. That would have been great.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Jordan Binnington get his nose put the other way. Here we go. So Ryan Hartman kicks him.
Yeah.
I understand that. I'd be a little bit upset, but like coming in to do that, you know, maybe not.
So it was also like very clearly accidental because when this loops back, we'll see it. Binnington's like almost out of his crease.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I have the suspicion that he likes the attention about it.
Like, oh, yeah.
He likes that the people are talking about him, you know, all day and everything.
What was his quote from the playoffs in his rookie year? Oh, what was it? Oh, Do you remember that?
No, I remember the quote from Berube earlier this year, his head coach, who was like, we'd like him to focus on stopping pucks. Because again, he gets booted for this, right? He gets kicked out of the game. And then the Blues go on to give up three more goals. Like their backup, if it's either Thomas Greiss or Joel Hofer right now, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, man, I've been sitting on the bench cold and now I got to come in and get my ass lit up by the Minnesota Wild because you wanted to be a whiny little whatever. So I don't know.
Wasn't there a quote the other day from Fleury after that fight from Ryan Fancy being like, I'd rather score goals than fight in the NHL or something like that?
Alan Walsh, his agent, sent out a tweet saying that when Fleury got drafted, his three goals, he wanted to win a Stanley Cup, score a goal in the NHL, and have a fight.
Oh, that's
and then he saw a fight when he was like coming into the league, and he said, maybe just the goal and the cup are good enough for me. But he almost went at it last night, and I know I saw some Minnesota Wild fans that were like, maybe we want Fleury staying in the net as well. They got a pretty important playoff push coming here right away. Speaking of that playoff push, today is a
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Big night around the NHL in terms of the out-of-town scoreboard. There are a lot of meaningful matchups that we're going to need to be keeping an eye on, starting with the Kraken taking on the Sharks. Hopefully San Jose can play a little bit of spoiler here for the Edmonton Oilers. They have one win in their last 10 games, so I'm not counting on the San Jose Sharks coming in and playing spoiler for us, but they're taking on the Seattle Kraken. The Kings are taking on the Blue Jackets. Oh, let's look at how the Blue Jackets have done in their last 10. 3 wins in their last 10, so I don't have high hopes for that one either. But the interesting set of matchups, the Jets are taking on the Bruins. The Bruins have somehow lost back-to-back games, including losing 6-3 to the Chicago Blackhawks. The Jets are sputtering right now. They are, after tonight, they could be barely hanging on to the final playoff spot in the West. They're only 4 points up on the Preds. The Jets are playing the Bruins. The Preds are playing the Blackhawks. I don't love the chances of the Hawks winning back-to-back games, if we're being completely honest. There is a chance that by the end of tonight, Nashville is only 2 points back of the Jets with 3 less games played. Man, there has got to be some nervous sweating going on in Winnipeg right now, our friends at Jets Nation.
Yeah, some crazy stuff is happening with Nashville. Who would have thought after essentially blowing up their team in a small portion? Right outside of pushing for a playoff spot, and they just got all these extra picks too. They're probably licking their chops at that. So yeah, it's crazy. Winnipeg, like, weren't they top of the Central at one point? Oh, right up there, right?
Yeah.
And they now were. might fall out of a playoff spot. You honestly, I'm very curious to see what Winnipeg do over these next, maybe even this summer alone. Like, it's not been a great time for them recently. So are they gonna move a couple of big pieces? We'll see. Like, what are the contract situations there?
Wheeler's a UFA at the end of the season.
I think he's gone.
Shifley has Wheeler and Shifley both have one more season, okay, and then they're UFAs.
Niederreiter also.
Yeah. Niederreiter is one more. They don't really have a ton of like big name UFAs coming, so they could like run it back. The same core. Hellebuck also has one more year left on his deal. Then he's a UFA.
See, the thing is about the NHL now, it's turned a little bit where like players with term are getting moved. Yeah. Obviously we just got Ekholm. So I wonder if they'll just try and cash in on a couple of guys before it's too late.
If you're the Jets, and I know some people might be like, oh, this is rich coming from a guy who lives in Edmonton. But if you're the Jets, you do have to be a little bit nervous of big name players in your market being unrestricted free agents.
Yeah.
Like, I know Wheeler's from Minnesota, I think. So I know that is like close. But still, like, I'd be a hair nervous. Connor Hellebuck's an American too, that these guys aren't going to re-up. They might look to just cash in at some point here or at some point this summer if this season doesn't go well. For the Oilers, I think there is a bit more pressure on them tonight, because when you look at the out-of-town scoreboard and you see Seattle and LA both have very, very easy matchups, like, you need to find a way to win this game here. Otherwise, you're that much further from LA in all likelihood, and you're letting Seattle leapfrog you again, and they're going to still have a game in hand after tonight. Like, big game against a big opponent, and a night where the standings could really change if you don't get 2 points.
And it's important setup for the game on Saturday too.
It is.
They need to keep up with Seattle so they can pass them in the direct duel and on Saturday.
That's a great point. Yeah, if you keep pace with Seattle tonight, you get the 2 points over them on Saturday, then boom, you're 3 points up. Doesn't matter what that game in hand does at that point. So a good setup for Saturday, which is when our 15th birthday bash. Flash that up, Aaron. Look at that. That's kind of what the shirt looks like as well. We gave everyone a look. Yes, our German friends are going to be there as well. And we are sold out. You cannot get tickets anymore. The pint is going to be packed. Proceeds going to support free play for kids. We're giving away signed jerseys. I'll be behind the back bar pouring up some shots. shots. We're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of shots will be had, and hopefully a lot of goals will be scored by the Edmonton Oilers. It is a Sherwood Ford Giant game day here on Oilers Nation. Every day we need to give some love to Sherwood Ford and their mobile service department. I believe they have over 50 bays in their dealership. It is remarkable what they can do. And how about this? I drive the Nation truck, as you know, it's parked outside. I don't know if you saw it because I got into the office after you guys. When I need to get an oil change done, they can drive here with their mobile service department and do it, or they'll drive and pick it up for me, bring it to the dealership, bring it back. So when I'm done the show, it's like my truck never left. Oil change done. That's the kind of quality you get with our friends at Sherwood Ford, the Giant. The Oilers need to be quality in a lot of aspects of their game tonight, but my big key to victory is going to be keeping the momentum going at 5-on-5. We know the Oilers' power play is going to get theirs. We know the penalty kill is probably going to give up a goal because it more or less does every single game. But at 5-on-5, they outscored the Ottawa Senators 4-1. They need to be the better team at 5-on-5 tonight if they're going to win this hockey game. I don't mind the Skinner versus Ottinger matchup. I don't hate the Oilers forward group and the way it lines up with Dallas, but you're going to need to find a way to hold possession in this hockey game and win the 5-on-5 matchup. Liam, what's your key to victory?
My key to victory is the Germans. I think it's a simple one.
Okay.
Obviously, Leon Draisaitl stepped up his game when they were in town. I'm thankful Dallas doesn't have any German players tonight.
That's a good point.
So key to victory is the Germans and also Stuart Skinner.
Outduel the Otter.
The Otter.
I like it. Tim, you got a key to victory for the Oilers tonight?
Yeah, mine is patience because, like, I think Bjugstad and Ekholm, they are adding exactly that to the team. I think that second period goal that really showed what they have as their main skills, and I think they can bring that to the lineup. They can bring Ekholm can bring that to Bouchard, and yeah. I think that's like the key to victory is like the patience the team needs to win these close games against the big rivals.
It's actually a great point. Like Matthias Ekholm does it specifically with Bouchard, but I think last time the Oilers played the Stars, there was a couple moments where they got back into the game and then it was like almost immediately a bad turnover, an odd man rushed the other way. Boom, the puck's in the back of their net. And I know Jack Campbell didn't play great in that hockey game, but the Oilers made a lot of mistakes in front of him. Having that patience, having that ability to keep things calm after you score a big goal, something like that, that's going to be important tonight. Our game day big bets are brought to you by our friends at Betway. Aaron, do you have the button? Hit it. Yeah. Cha-ching. We did a squad bet on the last show and we won it.
We did. It was awesome.
What a feeling. Everyone got those units up a little bit or closer to zero in some instances. Jay sent in his pick. He's going with the Oilers money line and the under. So he thinks it's going to be a goalie fest tonight between Ottinger and Stuart Skinner. Liam, you're keeping it consistent. You're letting it ride.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, Tyler. McDavid, 2+ points and an Oilers epic victory royale, +140, which will edge me a little bit closer to even money as well.
Yeah, I am going with over 1.5 power play goals in the hockey game because the Oilers' penalty kill has been junk as of late, and their power play has been good. The Oilers have allowed a power play goal against in 6 of their last 7 games. They have scored on the power play in 5 of their last 7 games. I like the odds of there being more than 1.5 power play goals tonight. -110, not the juiciest payout in the world, but I'll take it. -110, over 1.5 power play goals between the Oilers and the Stars. Did you lay any money down on Draisaitl to score last game or anything like that?
No, we had someone. He had the exact score and two Draisaitl goals, but he had one goal less for Ottawa, so he lost his bet.
Oh no, damn. That is brutal. That would have been a good payout. All right. There's our bets brought to you by our friends at Betway 19+. Please play responsibly. Liam, you're getting some compliments for your nice banana picture on that graphic. A lot of people saying manifest the win tonight. Kyler 4-2 exact score, power play and empty netter, which I know you love. And Yegg Loyalty, he dropped in a Sherwood Ford Giant key to victory. Need to take care of business in our own zone. Clean breakouts, no sloppy turnovers. Don't let the Stars cycle us. And I like that. Don't let them cycle you to death in this hockey game because you know they're going to be trying to do that. Maynard asks, is the power play out of sync at all without Tyson Barrie? Liam, I know you had the number on last show, but I don't get that sense at all with this hockey team. I think the power play has been just fine.
Shooting at 28% right now.
Since the deadline?
Since the deadline. I mean, I get it. You have one moment where Bouchard, there was quotations by Didrongan, Bouchard messes up. When you actually look at it, okay, so Bouchard shoots the puck, he misses the net. There's four Oilers forwards below the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get an odd man break, and somehow that's all Evan Bouchard's fault for missing the net. I saw people being critical of the fact he was shooting. What?
Where's he? All four teammates are behind the net. What's he supposed to do?
Like, it's crazy. Just,
yeah.
Bouchard has been perfectly fine. He's almost a point per game defenseman since the trade deadline. Let's just let this guy get used to being on the power play. It's not going to just happen overnight, but it will happen because Bouchard is the Oilers' best offensive defenseman. Like it or not, that's what he is. He's a power play specialist. That's mostly why he went 10th overall, to be honest. So, yeah, just lay off him a little bit. He's fine.
So since the deadline, they're actually now up to 30% on the season, Liam, because they got one last game. And on the year as a whole, they are 31.6. So the power play's dropped 1.6% from going Barry to Bouchard. And again, it's a small sample size right now. If you watch a power play with two future Hall of Famers in Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and convince yourself that Tyson Barry was the reason it was good, man, I like Tyson Barry. Good dude. Good defenseman. Having success in Nashville was an important ingredient in that power play. But it's not like they went from having Bobby Orr to me. Like, you know, like Evan Bouchard is just fine on the blue line.
Didn't he have the crossbar on the power play last game?
Yeah, he did. And he got robbed as well. But that was a 5-on-5, I think.
So if he had scored, though, like no one would have said anything.
Nope.
Shorten your memories, people. Let's not, just forget about it. Holy smokes. Yeah. Pick out the good things. Tomorrow when we do the show, I want to hear one good thing Evan Bouchard did on the power play rather than all the negativity that he did.
That's your homework, everybody. You have to come into the chat tomorrow with one good thing Evan Bouchard did in the hockey game tonight. Lance wants to know your thoughts on Bouchard.
I love Bouchard. I'm a big analytics guy, and he's like doing his thing well. And I always preferred him over Barry. So I love Bouchard.
Is there anything more beautiful than watching this Oilers power play hum along in person? Like being in the arena and seeing, it's like poetry, man. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And we had like a backside view on it, so we could see like how the players are switching up and everything. So that looked really nice.
Sweet.
And then awesome. We also saw he hasn't the easiest job to find the players because like they are moving all the time.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it is something. Hungry Tyler says, Bouch has better vision and is willing to shoot more instead of just dish to 29 or 97. Barry, to his credit, did start shooting the puck more right before he got traded. I know that because he hit his shot prop in six straight games before they dealt him. Joey, the backup optimist, is in and he just wants us to be more optimistic. We are being very optimistic. I think today's been a good show. Score prediction. What do you think happens tonight?
I think we get like a close one, so like 4-2.
4-2. I like that. 4-2, the bag milk special power play empty net goal. Why not? Friends of Betway. Shout out to our friends at Sherwood Ford, the Giant today as well. Sports Closet. It's the Sports Closet studio. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's a Friday, but it's not a game day. Hey, Liam?
Nope. Saturday game day. What are we doing Saturday? Are we having a show?
It's a good question.
It's gonna be at the pint early, so
I know. Yeah. Well, I will decide by tomorrow what we're doing for Saturday's edition of Oilers Nation Every Day. Oilers Nation After Dark is coming up tonight following the final buzzer with our pal Connor Halley. So make sure you keep it locked on the Nation Network YouTube. Hit that subscribe button as well. Tomorrow, Bro Down with Bagged Milk, brought to you by our friends at Star Mechanical. Three big things for our friends at AMA Travel as well. We got a lot of friends here on the show, including all of you who are active on the Nation Network YouTube. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk tomorrow, everybody.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.